Begin worship this evening. We have a lot of people that are on their way over, but let's begin. Just stand with me.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give.
That loves us, and that's always there for us. One thing that separates us from all other religions is that we have a Savior that lives.
I'm asking to understand. God has made what God has planned. I only know what He's planned. He's right here with my Savior. I take Him what He's learning me. Christ died to save me, His Son. For Him to be my Savior, that He would lead His way.
Asked me last week, they said, why do we sing a lot of slow songs during the time of Lent? And it's because we are reflecting on what Jesus did for us, what God did for us, that he would send his son just so that he would die, but died to save us from our sins. And that's the true meaning of the song that we're going to sing above all.
Thank you.
Prayer concerns tonight, Dylan. What was the last part? I couldn't hear that. Richard Woodruff was diagnosed with brain cancer. Michael? That is a praise. Margaret Nairn has come home from NHC. Jacqueline? I second that. Are there others? Yes, Skylar? It's Jennifer Treese. That problem. Are there others? Oh, I'm sorry, Jen. Are there others? Nikki? Patsy Marin, Jade, Jacqueline. Ryzen, provides me. Can we? Barbara Childs. Are there others? Yes, Ted. Are there others? I think we'll continue to pray for Harold and Jacqueline and Jimena, who is home with a sick child this week as well. And then Ted, is it Bethany that has the flu? Are there others? Okay. For our prayer time. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Because Svetis doesn't like it when I ask people to hold hands during flu season. I'd like everyone to in your seat, become very sit in a relaxed position with your hands palm up. I want everyone to take a deep breath in, hold it for 1 second, and then breathe it all the way out. And I want you to do this again. Breathe in and breathe out. I want you to be quiet, no talking voice. Breathe in and breathe out. This helps us to relax, but also to listen and prepare ourselves for prayer. I'm going to read the prayer list that was announced one by one and pause after each name. But after each name, if you will say a silent prayer for that person in that situation, but continue in that position, but slowly breathing in and then exhaling. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight with many prayer requests, many troubled situations and illness and sickness and so hard at times just to say your will be done, but we give these to you. We hand these over to you. And we trust that you know what needs to be done and what needs to happen in each situation. We pray for Richard Woodruff. Margaret Mary. Carrie Maddox. Jennifer Treese. Karen Hoffer. nearing. Sarah, reason. Barbara, child. Lisa. Bethany Hatfield. Harold Schaefer. Jacqueline Franciscan. Simona and Luke Lindsay. Melanie Stout. Any other unspoken? Something open. Our speaker tonight is Pete Mosley. Pete, would you come on up?
Just a little bit.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, give us the knowledge to know what you want us to say and how you want us to live our lives. Give us courage to step out in that direction, the endurance to see it through, and give us pleasure knowing we've done what you want us to do. Thanks again for the blessings. Well, if I keep everything straight, we're all right. I'm going to talk about something tonight. It bothers me a lot about church people, and something I think is the essence to church, and that's prayer. I've heard a lot of people say that you can pray for anything, and since I'm a Christian, I got special insight on getting my prayers answered. I question a lot of things, and I get to thinking, what if we got some good Christians live out the same road? One of them's an alfalfa farmer. He likes cutting, sell alfalfa hay, feed his family, scare his life off. Last week of June, first week of July is the best time for cutting his alfalfa. So he prays for a good 10-12 days of hot, dry weather. He wants it to be 85-90 degrees so he can time to cut his hay, rake his hay, bale it, and put it in the barn. His next door neighbor lays the seed corn. Planted the seed corn in March, 1st April, it's tasting. Last week of June, 1st July. All research says that to get good germination on your seed, you want it to be good moisture in the ground, and you want it to be cool and pretty, not hot. Definitely not above 85 degrees. So this corn farmer prays it's dry for the next 15, 20, I said, He wants it wet for the next 15 to 20 days. So he prays for it wet. The family lives next door to him. The woman works in a big office building uptown. The company's going to have a family picnic the first weekend in July. She says her husband got the oath, it's not raining. He said, all right. But he goes back in his office and sits down and prays he'd come to flood that week. The little boy in the next house pitches on the Little League ball team. Last year his team got put out of tournaments. This year they're feeling hot and ready to go. On the third day of July, they're going to play that team that put them out last year, and he's ready for a game. He prays God gives him a good pretty surgery so they can have a good ball game. We've got four people in a row praying for different things. Will God answer all their prayers? He could if he wanted to. He puts feathers on all the birds, scales on all the fish, and gave each of us a different fingerprint. So why would he want to? These prayers people have, and most of the prayers we pray, are stuff like it was when I was growing up. There was five kids in this family. We always had full stomach food. Always had on clean blue jeans. But Mom and Daddy didn't have much extra money. And being every little kid, I always said, Mama, I want some of them Levi blue jeans and them breads on the pockets. Or Mama, I want a BB gun. Or Mama, I want a new bicycle. Or Mama, I want to go to a skate ring. Or I want to go to the boogie show. And Mama's reply about half the time was, son, you can die from bad case of the I want. And isn't our prayer usually a bad case of the I want? Let's look at some of the prayers in the Bible. In Luke 11:3, thereabouts, I'm going to paraphrase these. The Lord's Prayer. The disciples say, teacher, teach us how to pray. And the first thing he says about praying is, pray for God's creation to be on earth. The second thing he says, give us this day, our daily bread. He didn't tell the disciples that they can pray for a deep pan pizza with three meats and cheese in the crust. He didn't tell them to pray for apple pie and ice cream or a giant Coca-Cola for everybody. He just said, tell them to pray for the basic needs that you need to get by. A lot of times, being a Christian, you get special privileges. But what does he tell them in the Lord's Prayer? No, you don't get anything special. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You shouldn't get it any better than you treat anybody else. And that's where our prayer should be. In Mark 14:33 and about, for Jesus' prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. He's at the end of his days, and he knows it. He gets, him, that's disciple too, gets alone to the side, and he says, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, but thy will, not my will, be done. He prayed for what he wants, but he let him know that if not possible, it would not take place. A couple of years ago, there was a song come out. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Aren't we glad this is one prayer that wasn't answered? Quite often when we pray, we should realize no is a very good answer for a prayer in the wrong situation. Now another place we're talking about prayer is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and thereabouts. Always be joyful, pray continuously, and give thanks. To me, this is the essence of Christianity. Everything Jesus is teaching is about praying continuously and giving thanks. You say, I can't pray continuously. I got a test in school to study for tomorrow. I can't pray continuously. I got to go to work next week. Or I got to hang out with my friends. Or I got a big ball game. We can't pray continuously. But let's look at that again. My feelings on life is your outlook, your attitude, your appreciation for life, and how you show it in your facial expressions every day is a prayer of thanks. Your boss looks at you at work and says you're happy, you're doing your job, and you're contented. He said, that's a good worker. He's doing good. Your teacher looks at you taking a test, knowing you're doing what you're supposed to, got a good attitude, smiling. You can tell you're a thankful person. Think you're doing good in life. Look again at, I didn't get Larry to get on his computer to check it out, but look in the Bible. How many times be joyous in there? How many times do you rejoice? How many times did love show up? How many times did service show up? These are all things, a way you can pray. Just how you go through your life, how you accept the situations, the problems that come for you. Duck down, say a prayer for a little help, but smile and go on and do the job that needs to be done. I read a couple of stories this past week. One of them about a young golfer, professional golfer. He'd won a tournament and he got invited to play in the Masters at the Augusta National Golf Course. Now, the Augusta National Golf Course is supposed to be the greatest landscaping job ever done in the world. When they play the Masters, the azaleas are all in bloom, the trees are pretty, the grounds are groomed perfect. When the golfer got up to the first tee to tee off, looked out over the golf course and told his caddy, said, man, isn't this beautiful? I can't even believe we're here. You sure won't see no weeds out there, will you? They went on, played through the first round, made the cut. Went on, played the second round, doing good. About halfway through the last round, the caddy said, hey, there's one over yonder. I see a weed over there. How much of your life do you waste not looking at the beautiful flowers, pretty sky, the trees, and the joys around you? How much of your time are you looking for a weed? Are you frowning because you're looking for something to be mad about? Did someone hurt your feelings? If you look for that weed, you'll find it. But if you pray and leave a smile on your face, you'll see the beauty of life. I read another story about a lecturer. He was going out of town to give a speech. He thought he'd get there the day before. Got in the motel that night and got thinking, I don't want to eat hotel food anymore. I believe I'll walk around the block, see if I can find some good local restaurant, eat some local fare. And walking around the block, some drunk jumped out of the alley and grabbed him and pulled him back in the alley, beat him up pretty good and took his billfold away from him. He got up, dusted himself off when the robber left, went to the hotel, told the manager what happened. They filled out the police reports. And he went on to his bed, cleaned up. Next day he went to give his lecture, and he had a big black eye and a bruise on the side of his head. People were asking him what happened. He told them he got beat up and robbed. They said, well, what did you do? He said, I gave a prayer of thanks. Gave a prayer of thanks. He said, yes, I'm 63 years old, and that's the first time in all my days I have ever been robbed. Isn't that something to be thankful for? He said, the robber took my credit cards and my money, but he left my life, and I can go home to my wife and kids and be happy and enjoy life. Isn't that something to be thankful for? And the main thing he said was this, I thank God because I was the one that was robbed, not the one doing the robbing. And that to me is very good. What are your prayers? How do you look at things? You got a bad final exam in chemistry. You need to make it 89 to pass chemistry for the year. Do you say a prayer on the way to the test day that morning? Or 2 months ahead of time, do you open the book and say a prayer? God, help me concentrate on this. Help me study this. Help me get through it. Say if you're 4'8" tall and you love to play basketball, do you pray to be center for the Chicago Bulls? I don't think that would do much good. Not that it would be impossible, but I don't think it would be in your plan. You could pray for God to give you knowledge of what He wants you to do, maybe to play basketball, to learn the skills, to get your trade down where you're the best. You might be the best basketball coach that ever was in the world. You could teach 30 years. Might motivate 100 to 200 people to go on and maybe one of them play pro basketball. But you don't need to pray for something that God didn't have in your plan. We also see Jesus' prayer on the cross. He was hanging on the cross. All his worldly possessions had been stripped away from him. His friends were hiding from him. They were out of sight. They didn't want to be around him. He was alone. I don't know whether he was in pain or not, but he felt the loneliness of being by himself. Did he get mad? Did he get upset? Did he fuss at the religious leaders that had him crucified? No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. People are going to insult you. People are going to leave you, and people are going to walk away from you. It doesn't do any good to get mad at them, fuss at them, and get like they are. Just forgive them and go on. Keep going with your life. Now, there's one thing in the Bible. I found it in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles both. It's called Solomon's Prayer, or Solomon's Dream, or I call it Solomon's Prayer. And it said, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and asked what he would like to be given. And Solomon replied that he desired to have wisdom and knowledge so he could lead his people. And God said, you have chosen right. Because you didn't choose fame, you didn't choose riches, you didn't choose long life, you didn't even choose harm to your enemies, but you chose knowledge and wisdom. You'll have that plus many, many more things given to you. Should not that be what our prayers are, rather than praying for things? In Vietnam, when things got tough once, I prayed for understanding and the ability to yield to what God's plan for me was. It worked, sure. I got shot all to pieces and put in the hospital. 3 months later, I died on an operating table in Georgia. Some plan. But really, I came out of it with a good attitude, so I couldn't fuss. 6 months later, I got out of the hospital, and Betty and I went to graduate school. Got a master's degree. Had a beautiful baby. Plan wasn't too bad, I thought. We come home, she gets a job teaching. I get a job over at MTSU, teaching and running the farm. 3 or 4 years later, wife gets pregnant again. How perfect could it be? 2 people, good education, good jobs, and a couple of kids. Trouble was, I got feeling pretty bad. Tired and wore out all the time. Then thought, well, I'll go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor. And his diagnosis was serum hepatitis. I had 30-some blood transfusions in all my things. I picked up hepatitis. Prognosis was I could be dead in 3 to 5 years, about 30% chance. God has a plan. And I need help. So I pray. And my prayer was, I didn't care what happened, but I wanted to live until my kids got out of college and got on their own. And if they did that, I would try to have a good attitude, try to work hard for people, and try to be thankful for all the blessings given to me. You know, it wasn't a bad plan. It just took longer to work out than I thought it should. It has been said that knowledge is everything. When you say your prayers, do you pray for the little things or do you pray for everything? Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. So please stand with me if you're able. It is well with my soul. Whatever my life that I do. Why Me, Lord is one of Pete's favorite songs, but it goes perfectly with his message and the attitude we should have in prayer to our Lord. Why Me, Lord?
Why have I ever done to deserve even more of the pleasures I hold? Oh, yes. What did I ever do to deserve loving You and the kindness You show? Oh, Jesus, Father, Spirit, come help me, Jesus, to know what I am.
Our closing prayer tonight. Again, I haven't called on these people, but Ted, if you and Melanie would lead us in our closing prayer for our nation.
Heavenly Father, we stand here privileged today to be a part of this family in America, this country, started as a way to express Christian love for You. The hands that wrote the documents that founded this country were definitely guided by your desire for these people. Lord, today we are struggling to maintain that relationship that America has always had with God. We ask Your forgiveness for not being vigilant about that relationship. We ask for Your protection over those who are serving now, even now, to protect our right to have that relationship with You as a country that belongs to God. We especially ask for guidance and for leaders to grow out of the people in this country to lead us to be the country that You would have us to be. Lord, let us each be inspired to add to our prayers the request that we be open to Your moving us to be a valuable part of this country, working toward Your betterment here in America.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much that, first of all, Lord, you are sovereign over all. And no matter who becomes the next leader of our country, Lord, we know that you are totally in control. And we understand that many of us will be disappointed in who is elected. Some will be excited. But regardless, our faith is not in them, ever. Our faith is in you alone. And from the small town mayor to the president, you are sovereign over all. Just give us all peace. As a Christian, Lord, I have anxiety about some of the laws in our land, Lord, that are not only unjust, but they're unholy. They don't bring glory to your name. My prayer would be that some of those would be overturned. And the ones that weren't, that you would give us peace to understand that, again, you're sovereign even in those situations. And I just pray, Lord, that our country, at least individually, Lord, we can repent and turn back from the things in our entertainment world and the things we read, things we get involved in, that Christians would turn, Lord, and take a stand and say, you know, enough so much. We want to bring honor to your name, even if it means giving up something that we used to enjoy. And more so, Lord, than our leaders, I pray for our youth, because they're tomorrow's leaders. And I just pray that you would, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would touch these kids and wake them up to what's really important. What we heard tonight, the message was wonderful. We could sure use a better understanding of what it means to petition you, to pray to you. And Lord, we know we get what we want when we pray for what you want. So help us, Lord, to know how to be on the same page where you are. And that's how we say our prayers. I pray all this in your holy name, Jesus.
If you wouldn't mind sitting for just a second, we have three announcements, and I'll make them very quickly, if you need to step out, I understand. One, next week, we will not have our regular service. Our schedule will change a little bit. We're going to be having our meal at 5:45, and then at 6:30, we're all going to carpool and follow each other up to Tusculum, Cumberland Presbyterian Church, for their Passion Play. If you are interested in going, you can show up that night and just go with us, but I kind of like to tell them a roundabout number of who will be joining us. I have a little sign-up sheet. If you forget to do that, just shout out me, Susan, this many, and just include yourself in that number, and just so we can make sure we get a pretty good count. The 19th of March, which is Holy Week, Wednesday of Holy Week, we will not be having dinner or a service. The sanctuary will be open from 6:45 to 7:30 for people to come and spend time in prayer. We will also have Monday, Thursday, a communion service, and then that Friday, a Good Friday service. So I just wanted to let you know about those schedule changes to observe Holy Week. But again, next week, the 12th, is Passion Play at Tusculum, dinner at 5:45, and then the 19th, will be prayer time in the sanctuary, no meal. And then Brandon Bryant from the Mount Carmel Church is here. He wants to make a quick announcement.
Last year that we done, we're gonna do that again. But I don't do is basically human music videos. There are three songs, and if anybody wants to hear them, I have a CD with me and listen to them afterwards. But there won't be any words, they'll just be acting the song out, pretty much. Anybody who's interested in it, let me know. We're still kind of figuring out when we're going to do it. I think May, the 1st of May. If you do want to do it, I'm going to have to ask this. If you do want to participate in it, you have to let me know and come on regular. I think most of us do anyway. This is something that's really been laid heavy upon my heart. And I think once it gets going and once I see what's going on, I think I like it. And I would particularly believe that if it goes beyond belief, I know that the Lord's going to use this and do this. But afterwards, if anybody wants to do it, let me know. Because I need a little bit of and it'll be anybody welcome to join us.
And that's just another way that brings us looking to minister to others is through music. All right, we're done. Be safe.
Thank you. Huh? All right. That's what we're trying to do is figure out. Is there a city player? Where's one? All
I need someone to keep me alive.